The following message by Dexter Ekpe is brought to you by Bridgeway Gospel Center. For more information, visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at bridgewaygc.
Praise the Lord. There is a very big challenge when believers grow so materialistic that the only time you catch them praying is when you are praying about cars and house and lands. As a temple, you can't connect. The prayers this evening look abstract. Nothing triggers your interest or your known interest. What if we're saying, say after me, Father, any man, any woman against my progress, fire, this whole place will erupt. Because we've taken our problems outside. For us, the root of our problems are outside, in other people, in men and women. So when I would say, every man, every woman, against my progress, against my family, we have triggered your selfish interest. But when we are praying about things that you can't relate to, like let the word of God take root in your heart, let God plant the seed of love in your heart, you can't relate to that prayer because it doesn't strike any selfish chord in you. That shows you what has preoccupied our hearts as believers. It is an unfortunate place to be. A very unfortunate place to be. It shows how dead and how insensitive we have become. And every day we are feeding on the junk of things. Believe it, receive it, catch it, breakthrough. So that is what triggers you. So when the prayer doesn't go along the lines of these things that excite your selfish interest, you are just there looking. Oh God, help us in the name of Jesus. I believe after 3 months, we'll be different people. Anybody who joins what we're doing here for 3 months will be different. You understand how these things work. When God told Solomon to ask for anything, Solomon asked for wisdom. And with wisdom, God gave Solomon everything. So these days, if we ask you to ask God of something, you ask for wisdom. You don't understand why wisdom gave Solomon everything. So you think that anybody who asks God for wisdom, you have bribed God and will give you everything. No. No. Why Solomon got everything with wisdom is because wisdom is a factory that produces everything. So he asked God for the factory, not for the product. So when we tell you to pray for your growth in your spirit, I'm asking you to pray for capacity to have anything you want. Do you understand? When I say pray for love, pray for grace, pray for the growth of your spirit, I'm saying pray to become a production center that anything you want from your spirit, you can make it happen. Where cars and lands and houses and food will seem to be a problem because you have it at the speed of a desire. But the Bible says according to the power that works in you. So the level of what you receive from God is a function of what? The power that works in you. So when you come to in prayer, you develop that prayer, that power. So when you pray for things, you are like the person who is praying for a product, not the factory. Let's understand this. We would hold meetings where we kneel down and pray for 2 hours. Nobody leading you. Building your most holy faith. As the Bible says, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're doing what? You are building your most holy faith. It says, it's with the faith that you quench the fiery dart. It says, that is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. When you can build your faith, nothing can stand you whatsoever. Not lack, not people, not things or humans. So let's know how these things work. So let's leave this materialism. It's showing. That's what I'm seeing. That's what they're showing. But we'll be fine. I know. In the name of Jesus. Please, you may have your seat. Yokes and burdens. Yokes. I need a little more volume on the monitor here. Yokes and burdens. Jeep, are you in control now? Okay, yokes and burdens. Monitor. Yes, monitor. Let it go up. Yokes and burdens. It's good. So it doesn't start. It's good. Perfect. Just end it there. Yokes and burdens. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Drop your volume very well. Matthew 11, 28, 29. Jesus speaking. He said, "Come unto me, all ye." I want everybody to sit down so I can have less distraction. "Come unto me, all ye who labor and who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Then verse 30. Let's see verse 30. Let me see verse 30 on the screen. On any screen. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let's do 29 and 30 once again. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Praise the Lord. I preached a message some time ago about the contradiction, or so it seems, between the two scriptures. In verse 28, Jesus says, if you are under a heavy weight, a heavy load, or a heavy burden, come to me, I'll give you rest. It says, all of you who are under any kind of labor or weight, come to me, and I'll give you rest. But he then says, after taking that rest, you have to do what? Take upon him the yoke and the burden. So I found a little contradiction there, but this is not the message for that. But it's written down. But in verse 30, now says that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It means he's taking away your yoke and burden to give you another yoke and burden. Praise the Lord. So when you come to Jesus, he takes the yoke and the burden with which you came originally and gives you his own yoke and his own burden. It means the first thing you get when you come to Jesus is a yoke. The first thing you get as a believer when you come to Jesus is a yoke. Now, what is a yoke? I wish I could have the picture of what a yoke looks like. If you look for it, you'll see it. In those days, olden days, when they didn't have mechanized farming, so in order to plow lands, they will get two animals and put a wooden contraption around their necks, connecting two of them together. Then you have one animal here, the second animal on the side. Then in between the two animals, I mean, the yokes connecting them, you have a gadget like a harness that comes like a hoe and hooks to the ground. So as animals are moving, they are pulling the harness, that kind of hoe-like stuff, and is now plowing, tilling the ground. So the connection between two animals is called a yoke. So Jesus says, when you come to me, I'll give you a yoke. Who am I yoking you to? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It means humans can be yoked together. Humans can be yoked with God. So you see, it's supposed to be a certain kind of yoking. It's supposed to be a measured yoking. So if you are in connection with unbelievers, it's called an unequal yoke. Why is that a problem? Why is the equity of the yoke a problem? Deuteronomy 22 verse 10. You know, before now, when you read Old Testament, you don't understand why certain things were written. Do Deuteronomy 22, verse 10. It says, do not plow with a cow and a donkey yoked together. You know, there were these many laws in the Old Testament. Ritual laws, ceremonial laws, commercial laws, business laws, relational laws, ritual laws, moral laws. This was one of such commercial or agrarian laws. Yes, because their major activity in those days was agriculture. So this was a commercial law. It says, if you want to go to farm to plow, don't connect two animals that are not of the same species, same capacity, and same strength. For example, don't connect a cow with a donkey. Why was that? Because the truth is that the two animals that you are connecting to plow, that you are yoking, should be of the same size, same species, and the same capacity. Because if you connect a big animal with a small animal, the big animal will drag the small animal and kill it. If you connect a tall animal and a short animal, the short animal will become dead weight to the big animal, or the small animal will carry more of the load than the big animals. For example, if a tall person and a short person are carrying a load, the one who suffers is the one whose hand is short, is down. So it becomes an imbalance. So God was the one who set the animal right. Forget the madness in the world. He says, don't kill the poor animal because it's trying to walk. Let things be done equitably. So is God more interested in animals than human beings? No. Not at all. That is why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with the world, because you are not of the same capacity and the same species with the world. The world is dead. You are alive. If you tie a log around somebody's waist and throw the person into the river, what will happen? No matter how good a person swims, a person will drown. Especially if the log is heavier than the person. Why? The log becomes dead weight, dragging the person down. So the Bible says the world is a dead entity. If you yoke yourself with the world, you would eventually die. Howbeit, it won't be an instant death. That's where the problem is. Because first of all, because the world is heavy, dense, and not moving. In construction, something you call life load and dead load. Certain constructions like buildings are not designed to carry dead load. Others are not designed to carry life load. So you should know what your design is. You weren't designed to carry dead load as a believer. So the world is a dead entity. If you tie the world around you because it's not moving, the first thing it does is it slows you down. So we're supposed to be moving with Jesus, our master. And you don't get yoked with the world. Remember, when you get born again, you are yoked with who? With Jesus. So you now tie another yoke with the world. So Jesus is on the move. The world is dragging you back. And because Jesus doesn't force you against your will, you are being dragged back by the world. So the first thing that the world does is it slows your speed. The next thing it does is that it weakens you. And the third thing it does is it finally kills you. And God understands and says, don't allow the yoke of the world around your neck. Don't have that connection with the world. But we're supposed to be in yoke with Jesus. So if I say you should not be in yoke with somebody who's stronger than you, how do we manage this one? Because Jesus is stronger. He's high. We are low. He is strong. We are weak. He is fast. We are slow. So how do we manage being in yoke with Jesus? He is God. We are human. He is divine. We are not. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he, God, made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin, so we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the first thing that God does, Jesus does, is that he comes down to a level first. So when you get in connection with Jesus as his yoke, or under his yoke, he comes down to a level first. He becomes weak. It says God made him who knew no sin to become not a sinner, but sin. There is a difference between being a sinner and being sin. So Jesus wasn't made a sinner. He became sin. So he came down to the basest of levels. He could relate with who we are. Second Corinthians 8 verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of God, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. So the first thing that Christ does is when you give your life to him, and you take upon him yourself his yoke, he comes down to your level at any place you are. So you are not so much of a sinner that God cannot relate to you. No. There is no sinner too dirty that Christ can relate. There's nobody too weak that Christ cannot equal. The first thing he does is coming down to your level, then taking that yoke. That's what the Bible says, that we know the grace of God. So grace is the equalizer. Once you receive the life of Christ, grace comes upon you. Christ comes to your level. And then at that level, he yokes himself with you. Does Christ remain at your level? When Christ comes down to your level and gets yoked with you, does he remain at your level? No. So it is the first sign that the Bible says, come as you are. It never said, stay as you are. Because Christ cannot remain at your level perpetually. Do you understand? When we say things like, come as you are, it's the truth. The second part of the truth is, you can't stay as you are. Because Christ came down to your level to meet you where you are. And he can stay with you for a long time at that level. So what happens is that when you take his yoke and it comes onto your level, grace is made available. Then grace starts growing you. So Christ comes down to take a kneeling position, accessing me at my lowly estates. So the yoke can be equal. Because if he stays high where he is and puts his yoke low where I am, it becomes an unequal yoke. And once he stands up, what happens? Our legs leave the ground. We are hanging by the yoke. What happened to you? Exactly. So he comes down to where you are, connects his yoke to your neck, bestows grace on you. The Bible says that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. The very reason why grace came is to give you enablement to be able to grow and match God's expectation. It says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness. So the very reason why grace came was not so we could continue in our sin, but to give us enablement to walk out of our sins. So when you carry the yoke of Jesus and receive his grace into your life, you start growing with him. He doesn't drag you. He takes you at your pace. But as you grow, you receive grace. Then you grow more. The Bible says you should grow in grace and in what? And in knowledge. You have to read your Bible. It says, grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace you received when you got born again actually grows. So as you walk with him, you grow in grace, then you grow in stature. So if you see a child of God of many years who is not growing, it's a sign that he has lost his yoke with the master. Simple. If you see a stagnant Christian, it is simple.
He has taken the yoke off his neck. You know why? Because the yoke of Jesus is voluntary. I always tell you, God is not a bully or a bandit. He doesn't match the door of your heart. Even a sinner, all he says is, I stand at the door of your heart and I do what? I knock. He uses the conditional word, if any man opens the door. Our work with him is voluntary. So if you get the yoke off your neck, you become a stuck-down Christian. Because the very reason that he puts his yoke around you is for you to grow with him, walk in sync with him, step in step, grow in his speed, grow in capacity. You cannot carry the weights or the glory of God without being in sync with his yoke. His yoke pairs you with him. Now, I use the word glory. Let me show you how this goes. When you get born again, you receive the yoke of Jesus. It's around your neck. That yoke keeps you connected with him. That connection gives you access to resources that nourishes you. For a tree to grow, the tree has to be planted in the ground. And the ground does three things. One, it gives capacity. I mean, it gives stamina. That's where the roots hold on to. Number two, it supplies nutrient and nourishment. So when you have the yoke of Jesus around you, it breeds connection. That connection gives nutrient, supply of nutrient. It's the umbilical cord that supplies nutrients from the mother to the baby in the womb, to the fetus. Once you sever the umbilical cord, I don't know if there's any situation, medical or whatever it is, that can cause the umbilical cord to be severed while the fetus is in the womb. I don't know if there's anything like that. But if it happens, you know what it is? It's imminent death. So your yoke is the cord that connects you to Jesus, your master. Once the yoke is severed, you are sure to be stagnant. There's no more supply of resources or nutrients to you. When the yoke is in place, there is that connection. Then there's nutrition. Where there's nutrition, there is growth. The number one reason why you eat is to grow. You don't eat for show. Like I tell those who are very close to me, that food is meant for strength, not for what again? The word we use now. It's not for status, it's for strength. So the status of your wealth is not seen on your plate. I'm a big man. Cook 4 bags of rice for me. I'm a big man. I want to cook 4 bags of rice and 2 cow. No. Why you eat is for strength and for nourishment. So when we are connected to Jesus, we have nourishment. When there's nourishment, there is growth. When there's growth, we have strength, glory, and burden. Wait. Connotes 2 things. One is glory. My timer is off. You have capacity. If I say, I release glory here now. See, prayer is good. Prayer answers everything. But prayer is only the beginning of the cycle of the answer. Because if you pray for God to give you glory, God will answer it. You know how you start it? Putting a yoke around your neck. Then he will now start getting you connected with him. From connection, he will give you nutrients. From nutrients, he will grow you. From growth, you will have stature. From stature, you will have capacity. You see the long chain before you get to the answer of carrying glory. So in God, there are only a few things that happen instantly. Did you hear what I said? In God, there are only a few things that happen instantly. Others go through a full cycle. Process. So you must have capacity to carry the glory of God, because the glory is weight. And you can't put on a structure a weight beyond its capacity. I have a structural engineer in this house. When we were doing this restructuring, they came and looked at this span. Looked at the span from here to here. And they said that the span is too much. It might carry it all, but to be safe, introduce a structural member that can carry the weight of the slab, of the decking. So this was not here before. We did what? We introduced this pillar, which is a structural member, to carry this. I don't like this pillar here. It's defacing the hall. But whether I like it or not, if I don't want this to come down, I must sustain this structural member to carry the capacity. So God doesn't want to kill you. He can't put glory on you beyond your capacity to carry it. Because glory is weight. So if you want to carry the glory of God, what do? You build what? Capacity. Capacity comes from stature. Stature comes from growth. Growth comes from nutrition. Nutrition comes from connection. Connection comes from the yoke with Jesus. That's the cycle. You can't carry the glory of God without having the yoke of God around you. You can't. So seeking the product without going through the process is foolishness. You can't have it in God. The second thing that weight connotes is burden. Every believer has a specific burden that he bears in God. Every believer has a specific burden that he bears in God. When you're a believer, there is a burden of the kingdom you carry. Something that tugs your heart. The same way you feel when you hear things like, if you put 1 million here, you'll get 200 million. That same burden you carry, that enthusiasm to want to get something done. Every believer has a burden about the kingdom he carries. It is burdenlessness that makes believers live pedestrian life. You know, we are lackadaisical. We are goalless, purposeless. We are just taking a stroll. You know, we are loitering up and down. Our lives are pointless. Why? In God, we have not found the burden for which we were saved. That's why it doesn't matter to believers whether somebody is saved or not, whether the work of God is moving or not, because there's no burden. How can there be burden? There's no yoke. That's what Jesus says. I will take the burden that you came with and I'll give you my own burden, because no believer should roam the world without the burden of the kingdom on his neck. You know what my burden is? When I see Christians not looking like Christ. When I see a Christian man beat his wife. When I see a Christian man cheat his clients. It gives me burden. I'm not judgmental. It doesn't make me judge the person. I just understand that this one has not reflected the image of Christ, and it makes my heart heavy. I almost feel like I am responsible for every Christian who is not manifesting the image of Christ. So I'd rather teach 20 people and have them reflect the image of the master than have a crowd of purposeless people. Because it is my own burden. I feel it like everything to see a Christian brother love his fellow Christian brother. It makes my heart heavy. I want to see a church where three ladies will relate for 2 years and not feel envy towards each other. Because it's almost impossible to have two women relate for 6 months without feeling envy, bitterness, or competitiveness towards each other. And we have the love of Jesus in our heart. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. But the only way it can change is by being taught, is teaching. The right teaching of the word of God. So I take it upon myself as a burden in the kingdom to make sure I teach believers to manifest the image of Christ. So when men look at you, they should not ask you, which church do you go to? They should know that, yes, I said this guy is a believer. If you're with somebody for 2 months, and the day they discover that you're a believer, I knew something was different about you. The way you talk, the way you act, the way you relate with people, I have spoken with you. I have never seen any anger in you. That's what I want to see in believers. It is my burden. Beyond any and every other thing. What is your burden as a believer? Is it a burden to pray? Is it for children? Is it for our teenagers? Is it for women? Is it for men? Is it for the church to grow? Is it for people to have education? Is it for hungry people to be fed? These are burdens. Every believer should carry a burden. And guess what? Guess what? Your highest supply in God goes towards the area of your burden. That's why we are broke. Without significance. Because God doesn't waste resources. God blesses you in the direction of the burden he has given to you. You think God gives you money so you can drive the most luxurious car, or gives you a beautiful face so all the men on the streets will stop and follow you. For every resource God has given to you, you must know what burden you should bear with it. Yokes and weights. Every believer should bear a weight in God. Number one is the weight of the glory of God. Number two is the weight of a burden in the kingdom that you labor every day for. When you are praying, you're asking God for one thing. Mine is that Christ should be formed in the heart of believers, and that the world will know love radiating from the church and from believers. Every other thing is an addendum. What is your burden? We are talking about burdens. Some people are talking about coming to church first, just being able to come to church, or choosing where to sit down and serve God. Next week, I'll talk about being connected by burden. I'm talking about you being connected to the master. Next week, I'll talk about you being connected to fellow believer. There's a yoke that connects you with your fellow believer. And there's a burden you carry corporately. Because these things are in stages. But this evening, in 2 minutes, ask God, let your yoke not be broken off my neck. So Jesus, I don't want to sign my charter of independence from you.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Bridgeway Gospel Center, 33 Awai Road, Asaba, Sundays 9 a.m. and Fridays 5:30 p.m. You can visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Bridgeway GC. God bless you.